Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Just a few short verses here, beginning in verse 5 and through verse 8. Please follow along with us, if you would, in your bulletin. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you take this message today, open it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that if there are those here today that have never got on board with Jesus, that today you might reveal your will to them and that you might show them that that is your greatest desire for them, that they might spend eternity with you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. It's kind of hard for us to believe here, especially where we live here in America, that that people could become so wicked that God would decide to completely wipe them all out, to destroy them all. You know, we just don't want to believe that God would do such a thing as that. As a matter of fact, some Christians think that God really didn't destroy the world at this time. But Peter tells us a little bit differently. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 through 6. He says, knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, thereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. We're going to talk more about this passage as we go through our message, but the point I want you to see here is that Peter said there's coming a day when people are going to say the flood never happened. It never happened. It's kind of interesting. I came downstairs one morning this last week and Victoria is doing last minute homework. I don't know if you've ever had that problem, that supposed to do it the night before and they didn't get it done. And so she's reading the story that's been assigned to her. And what it is, it's an Indian story, an American Indian story about a great flood that once destroyed the world. Do you realize that there are over 200 flood stories in almost every culture in the world? Now, where did that come from? The Chinese have a flood story. The Babylonians had a flood story. The people of Assyria had a flood story. The American Indians had a flood story. Now, you have to understand, we're pretty sure that the American Indians weren't influenced by the West, were they? Because they were kind of isolated over here in this country for quite a while. But you see, Peter says there's coming a day when people are going to say, oh, that never happened. He says they are willingly ignorant. In other words, those are people who are stupid and want to be stupid. They are people who don't know and they don't want to know. One of my favorite shows that used to be on television was Hogan's Heroes. And you remember old Schultz, right? every once in a while something would come out that Schultz didn't want to hear. I hear nothing. Now we laugh at that. But you see, in this, it's not funny. Peter says they are willfully ignorant. They don't want to know. But what about Jesus? Jesus Himself told of the reality of Noah's flood in Luke chapter 17, verse 26 through 28. He says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate and they drank and they married wives and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all." Now, one of the most concise passages that deals with this is the passage in Peter that we've already read. And that's what we want to look at this morning as we try to understand this. You see, Noah spent 120 years preaching, repent. God's going to judge you if you don't change. And yet, Noah and his family were the only ones on the ark. You see, Peter says it's the same way today. We tell people Jesus is coming again, judgment day is coming. And they scoff and they laugh, because they're too much enjoying their own desires. But Peter says that we need to continue to tell them. So let's read this passage here in Peter once again. It says, "Knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Everybody younger. Now you know what younger means, right? Younger means younger than me. Everybody younger than me has went to school in this country, has been taught that as a fact. That everything continues as it was from the beginning. It is what is referred to as uniformitarianism. That is, that we can look at the world today and we can determine how the world was based upon the way things are happening today. That's just a fact. And so, we'd not be surprised that the Genesis flood is rejected by science and a lot of people in modern day religion. And so, I think, you know, it's kind of fitting that Peter would prophesy that there's coming a day when people are going to say, there never was a flood. Everything continues on like it always has been. And then he says, "For they are willingly ignorant of this, that the Word of God, by the Word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and thereby the world that then was overflowed with water, perished." Now, regardless of what people say or what people believe, the Bible clearly states in a lot of places. It's just not the story in Genesis. Hebrews refers to this a lot of places. Refers to this, regardless of what people believe, the Bible plainly teaches that the world was once destroyed by a flood. Peter says that people are just willfully ignorant. You heard about the man, I told you this story before, but part of you were asleep, so now that you're awake, listen. You heard about the man who was convinced he was dead. I told you that story. And you know what they do with people who are convinced they're dead, right? They got them locked up in a little padded room someplace. And so these therapists are working with this guy, and they're trying to convince him he's really not dead. And they've tried everything. So finally it comes to this man. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to really prove it to this fellow. So he went in and he said, "Sir, I want to ask you a question. Do dead people bleed?" And he said, "Well, of course not." And so before the man could know it, the fellow grabbed him by the hand and took a scalpel and sliced his hand, and blood started coming out. And the man looked at it and he said, "Well, I'll be." He says, "I guess dead men do bleed." Now, I say that for a point. Because of the fact that we need to understand that, last week I mentioned this dinosaur bone. This dinosaur bone that they found out in Montana. 65 million years old. Now, folks, you have to realize 65 million years is a long time. That's really old. But in this bone, they found blood vessels that were soft. And you know what they're saying? Oh, wow, we didn't know blood vessels could stay soft for 65 million years. It would never occur to them that this bone is not 65 million years old. Peter says they are willfully ignorant. But you see, God's judged the world and everyone in it, except for Noah. Noah found grace. I like that. Noah found grace. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of the things yet not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is according to faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So Noah found grace. He believed God. God says, I'm going to send a flood, destroy the world. You need to build an ark. Now you have to understand that that takes faith. Because you're building an ark and there's no water. Everybody thinks you are what? Screwy in the head. You know, I can hear the call 911. Yeah, it's like 11 o'clock at night, you know, and this crazy guy next to me, he's still beating out there on that ark. Yes, you know, all night long this goes on. But Noah believed God. He found grace in God's sight. And Noah and his family were saved. Now, Victoria thinks that there weren't any other people on the ark because, you know, they had a lot of animals on there and a lot of food. But how many people here think that there was room for at least one more person? You think so? I think there was room for one more person. Noah preached for 120 years, the scriptures tell us, and yet not one person beside his family got on the ark. You see, what I find interesting about that is that, you know, if you have something going on for 120 years, pretty soon a lot of people know about it. You know? Pretty soon people are saying, you know, I was over listening to old Crazy Noah the other day, and you know, he's got some good points. You know, I kind of have an idea that, you know, maybe people gathered around to hear Noah preach and hear what he had to say. But the only trouble was, is that they never got on board. They might have listened to what he had to say. They might have even agreed, you know, oh, Noah, you're right, this world is getting pretty bad. It's pretty rough. Pretty ungodly. But they never got on board. They never believed enough to move. They never surrendered. You know, to surrender means that, you know, the people that I'm around every day, they're going to wonder what happened to me. So people don't surrender. They don't give their lives to Jesus because, you know, people are going to say, wow, look at that person. Look what's happened to them. What's wrong with you? Peter says, the world marvels that we don't run to the same excess that they do. I don't know. I tell you, this last week, before I even started thinking about this message, I've been really concerned about people because of the fact that there are so many people in America that just don't get it. They don't understand that God is a righteous and a holy God and that He has provided a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He expects people to be serious about their faith. And that if they're not serious about their faith, serious enough to get on the ark, when judgment comes, it'll be too late. You see, when the flood came, it says that God shut the door of the ark. And He shut the door of the ark. I know you've seen the movie. And in the movie, it's raining and Noah's getting the last of those animals in there. Come on, people, hurry up. But the Scripture says, God shut the door of the ark 10 days before it rained. I have an idea when the raindrops started falling, people started repenting, but it was too late. You see, it's such a sad thing to see so many people in this world. And they just, they're like the story of the grasshopper. They're fiddling away the hours, not realizing that judgment is coming. Peter goes on. He draws his own conclusion here. He says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." You see, God promised Noah, the rainbow in the sky says, "I will never destroy the world with a flood." But Peter says, the same word of God that brought about the destruction of the world in Noah's day is the same word of God that will come at a future day in which the world will be destroyed not by water, but by fire. "And the heavens and the earth will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And all the works, all the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up," Peter says in this same passage. Paul talks about this same time in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God." I am so sick and tired of listening to liberal theologians on television telling everybody, "We're okay. Don't worry about it." I wonder how those people in Noah's day that had that message. "Oh, don't go listen to crazy Noah. He doesn't know what. We're okay. God is a God of love. He's not going to destroy the world." How sad. How dangerous. You know how dangerous that is? That's as dangerous as going to a doctor when you have a terminal disease and the doctor says, "Oh, you'll be okay. Just go home." And they could have cured it. So Paul says that he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and on all those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." Now, I told you, I never did get a lot of whippings when I was a boy. Two reasons. My dad was very, very proficient at whipping. He had taken lessons somehow, I don't know where. But he was good at it. The second thing is I was a real fast learner. Because I didn't have to get whipped for the same thing twice, ever. Never happened. I never got whipped for the same thing twice. Never happened. I never looked forward to a whipping. You know, a lot of mothers, that's what they do with their kids. "You wait till your dad gets home." Oh, by the way, mothers, dads love that when they come home from a day at work. And the first thing they got to do is deal with a child who was disobedient like 6 hours before. Anyway. But Peter says, the world's going to be destroyed. That sounds bad. We don't look forward to that. But Peter gives us hope. Listen, he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day." Why did God wait 120 years? He gave plenty of opportunity for people to change. Is 120 years long enough? You know, is that enough? My land people, He's given us 2,000 years. How much longer do we think God needs to give us? He says, "The day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you see that the reason why God hasn't destroyed the world already is because He's waiting for you? He's waiting for me. He's waiting for all of us to get right with Him. Now, I took care of that some time ago, and I hope that you'll take care of it today, if you haven't never taken care of it before. And although Noah was a preacher of righteousness, no one outside of his family was on the ark. I heard of a fellow one time, he was preaching, he said, you know, if I'd have been there, there'd have been a lot more than 8 people on the ark. I think he's being a little presumptuous myself. But Noah didn't have only 8 people on the ark. And it wasn't because it was already filled up. I often wonder what it'll take. I often wonder as I stand here and speak, or as I go and visit people, what will it take to get those people on board? What will it take to finally get them on board? I wonder, is it that 120 years? How many people listened to Noah and almost decided that Noah was right? You know, probably a lot of people like Noah. You know, I like old Noah. He's a good preacher. Well, I'll tell you, people don't go where they don't think there's a good preacher because they like to listen to a good preacher. But, a lot of people say, oh, Noah, he's a good preacher. I like Noah. I think there were probably plenty of people who believed most of what Noah said. But they couldn't believe this deal about the ark and the flood. Couldn't believe that. I think there were plenty of others said, oh, you ought to go listen to old Noah. He's talking about you. But I'm persuaded that there are many people who are sitting in church pews this morning all over this country and around the world, sitting in church pews who have never given their lives to Jesus Christ. They've listened. They've heard it. But they have never released their trust to Him. They have never given it to Him. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Don't be like those of Noah's day and listen, oh man, he's a good preacher, I like that preaching, and then never get on the ark. You see, you don't never know. I went to the Bible conference this week where I teach at school. And I said to the pastor, because the Bible Conference Center lasts Monday night, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, and Wednesday night. And so I says to him, I says, boy, I'll bet you'll be glad when this is over. Because usually, you know, getting that all put together. He says, well, it's not going to stop. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, a neighbor just next door to us, their 24-year-old son died. He said he grew up with my boys. My boys stayed at his house. He came over and stayed with my boys at my house. He said, you know, I talked to that family about Jesus a lot of times. But the young man never came to Jesus. And they asked me to preach his funeral. You know, 24 years old is pretty young, folks. We're not guaranteed 120 years. God's long-suffering. Peter says He's long-suffering. But how long? How long has He been waiting for you? Peter says, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see, the crux of it is, do you believe it? Oh, yeah, preacher, I believe. Have you got on board? Huh? I mean, if Jesus was to come today, if judgment was to fall today, or if you, God forbid, should die today, are you ready to meet God the way you are right now? Right now. You see, because Peter says if we really believe this, then it's going to change our lives dramatically. Vance Havner, a preacher I loved to listen to years ago, went to be with the Lord back in the 70s. He told of a missionary once who was in South Africa. And he was out there and he wandered upon a a bunch of boys, and as he looked at the boys, he thought that they were playing marbles. Looked like they were playing marbles. You know? And as he approached and he got closer, he was amazed when he realized that they were playing marbles with diamonds. Because it was South Africa, you know. Diamonds are pretty plenteous. And Vance Havner drew this conclusion. He said, "I'm so afraid that the Christian world has been playing marbles with the sacred spiritual things, which are the diamonds of God, for so long. We're playing marbles with the great spiritual things of God. We have gotten close. I mean, we're standing right outside the ark. But we haven't gotten in. We're kind of waiting to see if that rain cloud really does appear. Whoops. God closed the door 10 days before the clouds came. Missed that one. It was the only one, though." Peter says that if we really believe that there's a judgment day ahead, it'll change the way we live. We'll give our lives to Jesus. You can't live a Christian life. The only way you can live it is you give your life to Jesus, and He'll live through you. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done or not done, there's freedom. But that freedom is only found in Jesus, and it's only found if you will surrender to Him. You know what it means to surrender, right? It means you give up. You give up. You give up to God. You give up to Jesus. You say, "I'm yours." Are you ready to do that today? We're going to pray in just a moment. If you can pray with me this prayer, please do so. If you can't, if you have more questions, I'd be glad to talk to you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for each one here today. And Lord, I would lead those in prayer that would want to accept You. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. I don't have it all straightened out, and I've made a mess of my life. But Jesus, I know that You died to straighten lives like mine out. And I just pray, Lord, that just right now You'd take my life. I give it to You. I surrender to You. I put my trust totally and completely in You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.